My name is Chuck C., and I'm an alcoholic. I don't know when I have felt any more grateful than I do tonight. This gang that have come down here to hear me bark for about 6 sessions, officially and 16 unofficially. You're something else, and it's a great tribute to me for those of you who came down here to listen, and for those of you who came down here to get away from your wives, I thank you for coming too. But it's a beautiful sight standing here and looking at you. You're a great bunch, and I love you. This has been an eventful week so far. I had to give a funeral on Monday in Pasadena. Chap who was 51 and who was giving an AA pitch, and right in the middle of it, he went down and didn't get up. Heart attack. And so that was Monday, and Tuesday, I had another one. This was one of the original members of the Compton group. Came in just after it was started. Old Tex Mullis. And Tex had been sober for 21 years. And he did it sort of the hard way because he was a compulsive gambler, too. He loved to gamble. And he won and lost once in a while. The last time I knew him to be in Las Vegas, he won $17,000 on the crap table. Took it up to his wife and said, "Now you send this home." And she didn't. She put it in the safe in the hotel. And he lost most of it before he got out of the place. So it wasn't too bad for him because he thought that was a great joke. He blamed his wife entirely because he had told her to send it home. Well, this time he went up again. And he left with a heart attack. So I had to put him away on Tuesday. Wednesday, I got my 29th birthday cake, which is something for a tongue-chewing, babbling idiot drunk. 29 years without a drink of pills. And that was pretty nice. And here to finish the week out, I have you people to share with and to be shared with. And I'm, again, very grateful to you for coming. I thought tonight we might just think a little about the problem to get started. This retreat is supposed to be in all of our affairs. The 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, meaning the first 11, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all of our affairs. In all of our affairs. And thinking a little about the problem, I have to think a little about a Texan who was the first chap that sobered up in Houston. He has, I guess, close to, if not already, 35 years of sobriety. He's half a Texan wide and a Texan a half tall. And he tells a little story. He says if you're going to solve a problem, it helps if you know what the problem is. For instance, says he, I've always been afraid of dogs. He says some little old girl come walking down the sidewalk with a Great Dane on the leash and says she's not afraid of him at all. Says a poodle runs out and I take off. And he's that high, you know. I can just see him running from the poodle. And he says this caused him a lot of embarrassment in his life. And it finally became necessary for him to look at the reason that he was afraid of dogs. And he looked and looked and he started to turn the pages of his life back. And he got clear back to where he was 7 years old. And he remembered that when he was 7, a dog bit him. And that was the reason he was afraid of dogs. But he said that didn't completely satisfy him. And so he looked at it again and he saw that the reason the dog bit him was that he was chasing a little girl at the time. Now, says he, all my life, I've been chasing women and getting in trouble and running from dogs, and dogs never were my problem in the first place. So he says it helps to know the problem. And I think it helps to know the problem. And I'm going to tell you what I think the problem is. And I'm going to tell you what I think the solution is. And there'll be some of you that will not agree with my thinking, and that's perfectly all right. But if I talk, I have to say it as I see it. So, our immediate problem when we came here was booze. Alcohol. That's the thing that ran us in here. It ran me in a hurry after 25 years. Because I had used every resource I had, and I had lost the battle. So I got here at the ripe old age of 43, a failure in every department of life. Failure as a husband, a father, a businessman, a man, and a drunk. And I had run out of everything, including people, places, things, money, whiskey, and home, and everything else. And there wasn't any place else for me to go but here. However, on my last trip out, I had a very great good fortune. The bottle killed me. The bottle beat me to death. Beat me into total and absolute nothingness. And only then could I come to investigate Alcoholics Anonymous. Up until that time, there was no way that anybody could have talked me into coming here. As long as I had the power of choice, my choice was never to come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and never came. Until I'd lost everything, including the power of choice. And so, I would say to you right off the bat, that the greatest single event that has ever happened in my life, and I'm 72 years old, happened in January 1946, when the bottle beat me to death. Had it been necessary for me to consciously surrender, the first time I would have died without coming to this program. There was no way that I could surrender. I had never admitted defeat one time in 43 years of life, not to God, man, woman, or the devil. The word surrender wasn't in my vocabulary. It had been bred out of me for generations. So, thank God, on my last trip out, the bottle did it for me. The roadblock was burned out. And I got to the program in a state of total abandonment of self when I got here. And everything in the fifth chapter of this book was something I wanted to do the first time I ever heard it. The very first night when I heard this thing read, everything in it was something I wanted to do. And I'm certain it was because of the total state of abandonment of self in which I got here. Now, there was one thing that I didn't think I could do. And that was step three. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. I had no objection to step three. I would have turned my will and my life over to a jackass if I could have gotten rid of me. But where it says we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understood him, I didn't think that this was possible for anybody like me, because I didn't think it was cricket to believe that I could give the mess that was me to anybody, let alone to God. I wouldn't have taken me with a large dowry. And I didn't figure God liked me any better than I did. And I hated my guts. So I let it lay.
I just let it lay.
Picked up the last third of step 12. And practiced these principles in all of our affairs. Now, after attending a meeting every night for 6 months, I discovered that I was sober. And had been without a drink or a pill for 6 months. Which was quite a discovery. Because I'd attended every one of those meetings with a great fear upon me that I couldn't have this thing, that I didn't have enough left physically or mentally to get it. And after 6 months of a meeting every night, I discover that I'm sober and have been all the time. And at that time, I started giving a little attention to step 3. Because I was thinking, well, maybe there's some way that I could come to feel that God would take a package like mine. And I couldn't get any solution to the thing. I was messing with it for quite a little while. And finally, it occurred to me, you're a father. And then I started conjuring up the most heinous crimes I could imagine and laying them on these two boys of mine. And I let my imagination go crazy, building the worst possible kind of crimes that anybody could perpetrate. And when I got that done, I would say to myself, now, would this keep me from wanting to see my boys? Would these things make me want to cast them into perdition, to burn for eternity? And I had to say no.
No.
I couldn't do it. No way could I, regardless of what they did, no way could I assign them to hell. And so I came to believe that maybe the Heavenly Father, being a good guy, you know, and me an evil one, maybe he would forgive me. And I got comfortable. But it had to come through that kind of procedure with me. Now, the funny part of it is that when I discovered that I'd been sober for 6 months, I had to get lost in trying to give this thing to alcoholics, because they had given it to me. Drunks had given it to me. And I lost myself working with drunks. And after a while, I had another discovery. And that was that something had happened in our household. A year before, Mrs. C. was divorcing me. The kids wouldn't come home when I was around. The boss man was going to throw me through the window if I ever stepped foot in the plant again. I had no health, no sanity, no home, no job, no nothing. And it appeared that the war was over. The household was living like kittens. And that was a good discovery. That was about a year after I got here. And another 6 to 8 months went by. And I made another discovery. And that was that I was still trying to clean up my desk at the office. We'll talk a little about this when we talk about AA in business, or practicing these principles in business. But here I was, still trying to clean up my desk at the office. And business was good. It was plumb good. And that was a pretty good discovery. Maybe another year went by, and I discovered that the state of my being was better than anything that I had ever dreamed of in my life. My livingness, being itself, was better than anything that I ever dreamed of. And that was a good discovery. And now 5, maybe 6 years have passed, and I made another discovery, which I believe to be the great discovery. When we make this discovery, the search is over and life begins. Life isn't over. Life just begins. Really. And this discovery was that I was never alone anymore. I, who had walked alone for 43 years, totally alone, I was never alone anymore. I had a God of my very own. And where I am, he is. I'm often by myself, but never alone. And this has been the way it's been ever since the discovery, and it's the way it was before the discovery. Because I hadn't been alone since my first meeting. Now, I believe that this program of ours, the Alcoholics Anonymous program, is a program of uncovering, discovering, and discarding. That's the AA program to me. Uncovering, discovering, and discarding. The first 9 steps of the program are the uncovering steps. Clearing away the wreckage of the past. Squeezing us out of ourselves, ego-wise. To get rid of the human ego. Temporarily. Because we never get rid of it totally, in my opinion. I am convinced that nobody can honestly take the first 9 steps in this program without making the discovery that something has happened, and it's very, very terrific. Because when we honestly apply the first 9 steps of this program to me, I apply it to me. At number 10, the ego's temporarily gone. Now, I am convinced in my own mind, totally and completely convinced, from the toenails to the top of my longest hair, that there's only one problem in this life. One problem that includes all problems. And one answer that includes all answers. Now, that's oversimplification, isn't it? One problem that includes all problems and one answer that includes all answers. I am totally convinced that the only roadblock between me and you and me and my God is the human ego. The only roadblock there is.